It's the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Ro is off today, and Richard Roper is sitting in as we continue to track the tragedy, the devastation in Notre Dame, the cathedral in Paris, the massive fire today. The official spokesperson from there says everything is burning. The entire roof has collapsed. The spire has collapsed. And as you just watched it, and during the middle of the day when it finally became clear that this was a tragedy, because it started out this morning with a smoke reported at the Notre Dame Cathedral, and I was listening to it about 10:30 this morning, and it seemed like things were going to be under control, and it quickly escalated, as we've seen, to the point where the spire just collapsed into the cathedral itself. And if you've seen that video, it's very emotional. A lot of people who were at the scene burst into tears just seeing that image.
Yeah, and President Macron arrived in his meeting with police. I mean, this is a huge thing, not just for Paris and France, but for the entire world. And especially, as we mentioned, you know, you and I have each been there, and I know as a Catholic, this is Easter week for me, and it's just, you know, the timing of this. And I guess we don't know yet the cause. Accidental, there's no evidence of any foul play, but they don't really know much more than that.
Just that it was under construction at the time. There was this renovation project, multi-million dollar renovation project. You saw the scaffolding up 10 stories all around the spire.
Yeah, right.
And you could see that part of what caught fire.
Yeah.
We want to talk about the architectural significance here, because just like you're saying, Richard, if you've been there, and both you and I have
awe-inspiring.
It is awe-inspiring. And just everywhere you look, there's something so intricate and so stunningly beautiful.
So historic. I mean, you know, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, that, you know, is based there.
Right.
You know, one of the most famous novels of all time.
800 years of history and so much to talk about. Yeah. One of the most architecturally significant cathedrals on earth, if not the most, to say nothing of the religious significance and the historical significance. Let's talk to Blair Kamen, the architectural critic from the Chicago Tribune. And we appreciate your time, Blair. As you were watching this, what were your thoughts and what you were seeing?
I was shocked and sad, and I mean, this is, you know, it's out of a nightmare. It's truly awful. Notre Dame is, you know, a world landmark. It's a symbol of Paris and of France itself. It's a symbol of French survival. You know, the French Prime Minister just tweeted that this was like watching, you know, part of ourselves go up in flames. So it's, you know, I mean, I'll always remember this day. It's an awful day.
Blair, can you talk about a little bit about the building of Notre Dame? I mean, we're talking what, you know, nearly, you know, 1,000 years ago, 800 plus years ago, and how long it took, and what a marvel of architecture for the, you know, with thinking of the lack of technology at the time. Can you speak a little bit about, you know, the construction of the cathedral?
Of course. Well, I mean, this is one of the great French Gothic cathedrals that went up during the surge of cathedral building in the 12th and 13th centuries. What distinguishes these works is their synthesis of architecture, engineering, and artistry. So you see the express structure in the flying buttresses, and you see the incredible delicacy of decoration in the rose windows, especially. Notre Dame is special. I was just talking to Allison Fisher, an architecture curator at the Art Institute, and you know, she was saying that unlike Chartres and Amiens, or Chartres in particular, which is, you know, outside of Paris, Notre Dame is it's right in the middle of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, it's on this island in the Seine. There are all these other buildings around it, so you know, it's monumental in the context of the city, and its urban location, I think, is what, and its proximity to the daily life of Paris is what is part of what makes it special. It may not be the greatest of the Gothic cathedrals, but none has such cultural and emotional and religious resonance as this building does.
You mentioned the flying buttresses. There was a firefighting expert, I believe, on CNN earlier, and we'll be talking to someone later here on the program as well, who said it was those ribs, those wood beams that are so artfully crafted. If you've been inside the cathedral and you would see them, you could just stand there in awe of each and every one of them by how they were crafted. And they said, the firefighter was saying that because of this 800-year-old wood that had dried out over numbers of years, that it became pretty rapid fuel for this fire, and that the construction materials certainly didn't help in this case.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that, you know, a wood structure that's centuries old is tinder. What's interesting here is that there was a fire 13 years ago in Chicago, the Pilgrim Baptist fire, that also occurred during a renovation. That was obviously, a great building by two great Chicago architects, Louis Sullivan and Dagmar Adler. All but its walls, exterior walls, burned down. This is a building on the south side. Renovation is dangerous business. You know, when you have open flame, dealing with lead or asphalt, unless you're, you know, if you're not careful, something like this can happen. Now, obviously, there's no conclusion yet as to whether or not this was caused by, lackadaisical construction worker, but certainly, you know, I'm sure that will be a likely cause of inquiry.
And we want to talk to a firefighting expert, because people have so many questions. This is out of all of our territory, but they're sort of second guessing what happened there. A lot of people said, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't you do this? Why did it take so long for water to get there? Well, there are reasons for that, and we are going to be talking to somebody who has handled very difficult structures, structural fires. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the significance of, I know the French President Macron has talked about how workers did try to save things from the inside, architectural relics, though. I mean, what could you possibly save?
And how would you know, damage, you know, what to grab and how quickly to grab it? I mean, these are not curators. These are not historians, of course.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, grab everything you can as quickly as you can. I mean, thank God there are no deaths associated with this. But to me, it does recall, you know, 9/11, just in the shock of seeing this iconic building on fire, you know, and with its spire toppling.
It does, I mean, you're right. It has a cinematic. It looks like one of these, you know, millions of disaster movies we've seen, Blair. Unfortunately, it's not fiction.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing that, like, you know, I get up this morning and the last, you know, absolutely, you know, you would just never think this would happen. You know, that how could this happen to this revered symbol that's beloved by so many? As you mentioned, Richard, you know, with Easter week, you know, for Catholics all around the world, this is a tragedy. It's awful. It's truly a nightmare.
The latest from the scene we're hearing is that they're trying to save one of the bell towers that they thought they were going to be able to, but that it's pretty dicey at this moment. Speak to the significance of those, because I know they started, I think they were automated after a while, that to just initially you had to climb the stairs, and I think visitors to Notre Dame could climb those stairs at one point and see the bell tower and take a look at that view.
Right. Well, I mean, that is a good point. You know, one of the things about this building is that you look at it, but you look out at Paris from it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that there's something magical about climbing, as we all know from the observation decks in Chicago. There's something magical about climbing to a high point and looking out over the city. Now, even though this is much lower than, you know, the observation decks here, there's still something fantastic about going up in these buildings. You know, I've experienced it at St. Paul's in London, you know, where you get that sort of bird's eye view. And obviously the surroundings here are extraordinary. It's, you know, it's the Seine, it's the cathedral itself, it's the plaza in front of the cathedral, which is, you know, a noted gathering spot both for tourists and political protesters. You know, this is a building that's really embedded in the life of its city, and, you know, there, and in the life of the world, and, you know, it's part of the image of Paris. I mean, short of the Eiffel Tower, it's along with the Eiffel Tower, it's one of those buildings that just defines the city and what it means to be Parisian. It's gut-wrenching. It really is.
It is. It is. And I think everyone deals with it in a different way. Either you've studied it in history books or you've actually had the honor of being there yourself in person to just stand, sit there and be in awe of it. I remember looking at that on the facade, that rose stained glass window, And it, the intricacy and just the beauty of it, just that one little piece of it. And if you walk around, everywhere you look, there was something that was so magical in terms of what it looked like artistically, but what it also meant to the world. And that's the sad part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's the energy that created this had to do with devotion, mm-hmm. with yes. the religious devotion and the devotion to Mary. That's why they're called, that's why all these cathedrals are called Notre Dame, our mother. And so that's the energy that built these. That was the motivating force that led, great engineers, architects, artisans to create these spectacular achievements, and to watch them go up in flames is really, really awful.
It's devastating. You're already seeing, though, the President Macron and even former President Barack Obama has spoken up to say mm-hmm. it's history lost, but it is our nature to rebuild. I just wonder about the challenges of rebuilding something like this. You don't see buildings like this going up today in this modern age, and there must be reason for that.
Well, I mean, we can still build in a Gothic style. I mean, think about, in Chicago we have, the University of Chicago's Gothic mm-hmm. buildings. Northwestern has Gothic buildings. But there's an authenticity that comes from age and the accumulation of weather and events and the energy that goes into, creating a monument like this. That's partly that devotion that I was talking about. If there is a rebuilding, of course you don't want the Disneyland version of Notre Dame. At the same time, Notre Dame has been renovated in the past. The French... in some ways, I think, I'm not an expert on French history, but I think the building fell out of favor during mm-hmm. the French Revolution. The statues of kings were actually beheaded.
Yep.
And then in the 19th century, I'm told, a new wave of appreciation led to the cathedral being renovated.
Right.
And as recently as 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, 2012, there was a story that Reuters put out that the cathedral had been renovated in advance of its 850th anniversary. So just to be discussing renovation is like mind-boggling. A rebuilding, and it's a fraught issue because how do you make it authentic? I mean, I can't even get my arms around that, much
right.
less around what's happening right now.
Right, it's hard to bring your head there, even though it might be a positive. Like, you can see why the French leaders are delivering that message to the people. You can only imagine how they might be feeling today. You saw some people come to the flames, and there's a picture on CNN of this old man just crying, bursting into tears.
Oh.
It's very visceral, and
of course.
This idea of potentially somehow, some way, rebuilding maybe is of some comfort to people. Blair Kamen, we certainly appreciate your time on a day like this. Sad day for all of us, really. And thank you. Thank you for your perspective.
Well, thanks for having me on and, for discussing it. And we'll hope for the best and pray for a miracle.
We will.
Thank you, Blair. Really appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Coming up, we have, what were we going to say?
There's a reason why Blair Kamen has a Pulitzer Prize for architecture criticism. He speaks with such eloquence, and even if I'm not interested in what he's writing about, by the time I finish the article, I always am. He's just a beautiful writer. Just,
and he educates
wonderful.
You at the same time.
The passion he has for architecture is just palpable, and I really appreciate his insight.
I do, too. I agree with you. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to see what's happening in the news, and for that, we head over to Kim Gordon.
And, of course, we'll bring you the latest on the massive fire burning at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris.
The This is the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper in for Ro today, and we've been talking about the devastation at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris as we've been watching the events unfold there. Everything is burning, is what the spokesperson for Notre Dame says. The spire has collapsed. Many people witnessed some of that as it happened a little earlier in the day. Just a tragedy out there. The entire roof has collapsed. They've tried to save as many relics as they can, and you think about what is inside, both outside the exterior, the architectural beauty and the treasures within that cathedral as well, to say nothing of what it means to the people of France and its significance emotionally in their hearts. But we want to understand also a little bit about, for Catholics, this cathedral and the significance of what this is, not only for the community it serves, but to the world who flock there from everywhere to appreciate its beauty and attend Mass as well. Father Hurley of Old St. Pat's is joining us. Thank you, Father. We appreciate you checking in with us on this kind of a day. Devastating day, really, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful symbol of, I think even more just more than Catholicism, I mean, just a beautiful symbol of a house of worship. And to see the tragedy on TV is just incredible. It really is.
Father, you're absolutely right. I mean, and Old St. Pat's has a special place in Chicago's heart and history. We'll talk about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But I think you make a great point. When I went to Notre Dame in Paris years ago, I went with a friend who was Jewish, who was absolutely overwhelmed and moved by the beauty and the faith and the power. It is, it is more than just a symbol of the, obviously it is of our faith, but of just, spirit and persistence, the fact that this took two centuries to build, and it's really a symbol of, I think, hope and faith and a beacon of optimism for everybody around the world.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just it's more than just a work of art, but I mean, houses of worship, be they churches or mosques or cathedrals or synagogues, whatever, temples, I mean, throughout history, I mean, sacred spaces have been people's home. And so I just think to see your home go up in flames is, it's just heart-wrenching. It really is. It's part of people. It's part of a culture, and as well as, part of a faith tradition. So it's really very disheartening to see that today.
It is. And we witnessed this on a very small scale here with Holy Name Cathedral and a fire there not long ago. And having a similar impact, people were upset, and this is a part of them and a part of their world. And just like they were describing that a part of Paris has died tonight, this is on a much grander scale because of the devastation and ruin there. But you still feel that a community, a church community, reacts to this kind of thing.
You really do. I mean, you can see it on, I've been watching the television all afternoon, and just to see people's reaction, I mean, the tears and the devastation, and not just those that you see on television, but certainly around the world. I mean, gosh, you hear the numbers of literally millions of people that go through Notre Dame on a yearly basis. I've been there too, and it's just a remarkable structure. And to think about the history, to think about the generations of families that built that place, over 200 years. It's just incredible, the dreams and the envisioning of what that place was meant to be, and meant to be just a beautiful sign of hope for people. And just reaching to the skies, this great Gothic structure, and to see it up in flames is truly a sad moment.
Well, it's a place of peace, too. And I remember just feeling, I went there as a college student when I was sort of backpacking around Europe and just stared at it. And I remember just being, and I'm sure this experience is not all that unique. You're in such awe when you can study it in history books, you can look at it in art history, whatever it is, it's this magnificent architectural treasure. But when you get there and you actually look at those stained glass windows, every piece of it was so ornate, such an artistic masterpiece that you're in awe of humanity, really, and the thing that it took 200 years to build, and what it might take to even try to repair what happened there. It's hard to think about.
When you think about 200 years, and you think about the handing on of the vision, so think about the artists and the sculptors, who went into that place, weren't able to see their masterpieces completed, and yet they handed that vision on, and people carried that on. So I certainly, the president of France certainly is saying, hey, we're going to rebuild. But I mean, boy, you have to, have to try to rebuild the vision and rebuild the beauty that, you know, was created so many years ago.
I saw that.
I hope they can.
And you think it must be such an overwhelming task to think what you'd have to rebuild here and the kind the amount of the structure that has been ruined by this fire. And it just, I'm sure people of France want to feel that hope, and we all mm-hmm. do, that that will happen. You just, it's a monumental task, to say the least. It's also Holy yeah. Week, and, you know, you think right. about it, just yesterday, I would imagine there would have been a lot of people there for Palm Sunday, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. this happened just after closing, so if there is any prayer answered here, I suppose it's that people weren't there inside, and that so far we haven't heard any reports of any firefighters or staffers mm. or anybody nearby getting injured.
Right, thank God for that. But the irony of it happening during Holy Week is truly unreal. You're right, I'm sure yesterday that there were probably hundreds of thousands of people that went through those doors. Palm Sunday certainly does bring out a lot of people in churches to begin the holiest week of the year for Christians. And so for it to happen this week, I haven't quite put all the pieces together. I'm still reflecting on it, but it is kind of a quite a strange irony that it happens this week.
No question.
Well, Father, of course, you know, we are a relatively young country and a young city compared to, you know, when we talk about the European cities. But Old St. Pat's has been a cornerstone of Chicago and Catholicism, and in
yes.
particular, you know, Irish Catholics. The original structure, I believe, was on Randolph, but the current building with the famous kind of cream stone from Milwaukee, of course, I think has been there since the 1850s, right? So, I mean, there's a generational...
Correct.
You know, legacy there. And we know so many stories of couples that have met at the block party and weddings and everything. But, I, you know, in terms of this week, I would imagine, you know, and of course, as you mentioned, you know, it's Holy Week and Easter is, you know, the most glorious day of celebration in the faith. I would imagine that we'll be hearing mentions of Notre Dame in a lot of sermons, not just at Old St. Pat's, but around the Chicago area this week.
I would think so. I would think so, yeah. Old St. Patrick's, we're just, you know, very blessed with having the oldest church building in the city.
Survived
just a
the
great
Chicago
sanctuary.
Fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It survived the Chicago fire.
That's
it
right.
actually, it dates back to the first time the doors ever opened was Midnight Mass of 1856.
Wow.
Actually, the construction began, well, just taking it back, as you said, Richard, you know, the original church, a little wooden structure, began actually in 1846 and actually opened up on Easter Day of April 12th. So actually we just marked our anniversary last Friday, but that was the beginning of the parish of St. Patrick's. And then in 1853, the immigrants began the construction of the church that exists today, and it was completed. And the first time the doors opened was Midnight Mass of 1856. And people always say, has it always been called Old St. Patrick's? No, actually, it was St. Patrick's Church. But after the fire of 1871 in Chicago, the Great Fire, we survived it. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, then it was designated as Old St. Patrick's, because really it was part of the old city of Chicago.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Well, yeah. we really appreciate your perspective. Father Hurley from Old St. Pat's, thank you. It's a tough day, I know, and... it's just it's good to hear from you. So thank you. Thanks for checking in.
All right,
us.
Anna. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Father.
Take care. Bye bye.
Father Hurley, Old St. Pat's there. Good of him to take some time.
Good to
for
get
us.
That you know perspective.
It is.
From,
it is.
From
it really
good,
is.
From the good Father.
And coming up, we have another perspective. A CFD battalion chief is going to join us to talk a little bit about the challenges for firefighters in approaching something like this. He'll be with us.
Excellent.
In just a little bit here, but we're going to check in with Kim Gordon here, find out what's happening at the top of the hour in the news first.
Anna, on this tax day, President Trump and Governor Pritzker touting their tax plans.
Been talking about the Notre Dame devastating fire, Notre Dame in Paris. And this is the Roe Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper here with us today as Roe's taken a couple days off.
Right.
We were talking about firefighting and the response to this, because I think early on there was too much criticism of what were they doing without any much understanding necessarily about what firefighters confront when they go to something like this. earlier in the morning, let's see, about 10 o'clock our time, that was starting to smolder. There was smoke, and we heard about that. And it seemed like, at least the earlier reports on like CNN and that kind of thing, were that it didn't seem that big, but it quickly, quickly moved. And we've all seen the devastation since. Battalion Chief from Chicago Fire Department, Steve Little, is joining us. He's got some expertise in these matters. And Steve, we really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us.
Hey, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Tell us what you saw as you were looking at a fire of this magnitude and the sheer challenges for fire departments or firefighters to try to approach this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things we think about when we're thinking about buildings that size and of that construction, which we really have to look at as we're responding and we get on the scene, is that type of construction for that building and the amount of fire and you know, just the things that they were confronted with when they got there, probably trouble with getting water and getting close enough to the structure initially. We have to think safety. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have to think safety of our members, and we've got to be really careful how we set up and how we approach that type of a fire.
Chief, I'm sure this is sometimes a source of frustration for you, because everybody, you know, that's one of the things, firefighting, everybody seems to have theories. They don't understand the intricate science involved and the instinct and the fact you just talked about safety. So we got all these theories, including, I don't know if you saw this, the President of the United States, who said, why don't we just fly overhead and drop water from water tankers? That, he said that could be used to put it out. We can act quickly. Obviously, that it's much more complicated than that.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the issues we have with an historic building, especially in Notre Dame, is that emotions run really high. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that there's a lot of sentimental value. There's a lot of religious value. There's a lot of people that you know, have just a lot of memories and things that, you know, are going to tug at our heartstrings a little bit. And we really can't approach it that way from the fire department side. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to look at it as, what's the safest way for us to attack it? What's the best way for us to get a water supply on it? Is it safe for us to make entry? And these type of buildings are what we call truss constructed. Mm-hmm. And we know that once the fire gets into the structure of the building, it becomes unsafe for firefighters to go into. So we have to start up what we call a defensive attack, and we've got to figure a way to be in a safe area to attack it from the outside of the building.
You mentioned something interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up, because earlier we had architecture critic from the Chicago Tribune, Blair Kamen, on, and he talked about the flying buttresses within this Gothic architecture of the cathedral, and it was a lot of wood, 800-year-old wood, that essentially created the arches and the ribs of the entire interior of that cathedral. A lot of wood, I'd imagine a lot of fuel for that fire, and the dangers facing firefighters. I know the way you approach fires has changed over the years based on how safe that is for firefighters to even go into a building like that. Talk about that, the challenges of dealing with it.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. You're talking about a very old building, a building that is probably a little weakened just because of its age. So you've got to take that into consideration. You also have to take into consideration that with that type of a truss construction, or the arches, as you put it, that kind of ties all the walls together. So as those things start to fail, as those things start to heat and start to burn, it weakens the entire structure. So what we do is we set up what we call a collapse zone, where we start to put our equipment either on the corners of the buildings or far enough away so that if one of those walls should fall, it's not going to kill one of our members. So, and again, there's a lot of emotions there, and emotions run real high. And it's the same for firefighters. You know, we want to go and save something. We don't want to lose anything. So we may try to do something perhaps a little unsafe initially to try and make an attack on that. But we have to always keep in the back of our mind that this is a dangerous building as far as construction goes.
And the height of it, the sheer height, the spire that was under construction, and there are some theories, and there is no cause that has anywhere near been ruled at this point, but one of the working theories has been this renovation that was underway around the spire. 10 stories of scaffolding, the sheer height of trying to get water to that, I guess it just boggles the mind.
Well, that's absolutely right. And plus, you know, I'm not 100% familiar with the building, only from what I've seen on pictures, but it seems like it's set back a little bit, which means it's probably a little bit tough even to approach with a piece of equipment, much less try to get hose lines close enough to it. And once fire has gotten to the point where the building is unsafe, we really got to be careful about where we place these hose lines, where we're going to place firefighters, and the safety of the public as well.
They've been able to save, breaking news this afternoon, that two of the towers were saved, two-thirds of the roof destroyed. Clearly that spire was also taken down, and there was some hopes that they could save the bell towers, so there are pieces of this that apparently seem to have survived. I suppose we have to wait. The interior, too, I'm sure that it'll take some time before they figure out exactly what was lost there. Just so much to get to. And I can't, if firefighters wouldn't feel safe getting in there, I can't imagine the people who wanted to save all the relics and the historical and the significant items and culturally and, all the things inside of there that they wanted to get out. I can't imagine they would have been able to approach it.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been just a big vacant structure, probably nobody would have thought twice about just watching it burn to the ground. But when you put, that kind of an emotion into, an historical landmark building like that, the first thought is, hey, let's save this. Let's get in there. Let's do whatever we can. But again, we've got to be safety conscious, knowing that we can only do so much and knowing what our limitations are and just doing the best we can with what we're confronted with.
And on the subject of safety, I know initially they put out the call to tell people in Paris, do not show up here. Don't try to watch it.
Please don't.
And that was not heard because so many people felt such a connection to this monument that they wanted to be there. So the other issue was, how do you fight the fire with thousands of people standing around? Yeah. Tough to do.
Yeah. I mean, part of what we do early on is cordon off the area. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do with our fire trucks. But obviously, we try to get the police there as soon as possible. And in Chicago, we have a pretty good rapport with police, and they get in there really quick, and they cordon off that area. And it can be tough because, like I said, this is something that runs really high as far as emotions. Yeah. And and this is a landmark. I mean, it's going to draw a lot of attention, and it's going to draw a lot of bystanders. So we really need to be careful.
No doubt about it, Steve Little. Battalion Chief for CFD, thank you for weighing in. Thanks for your time today. We appreciate
it. And Chief, thank you to you and all your guys and gals for everything they do for our city. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate
it. And Richard, it was my pleasure. Thank you for what you do.
Awesome to hear from you. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.